This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning. I'm Bob Oakes. 10:30 p.m., Veterans Day, 1985. An alleged drug dealer was murdered in a Brockton parking lot.
This is where he got shot. The guy went way up in the air, but there wasn't even a sound. It was just a flash. I didn't hear a gunshot. And I said to my girlfriend, he just shot him.
6 days later, Brockton police arrested 18-year-old Darrell Diamond Jones of Boston. Jones was tried, found guilty of first-degree murder, and sentenced to life in prison without parole. But he's always maintained he was innocent. This morning, WBUR and the New England Center for Investigative Reporting present part two of our series, Reasonable Doubts, reopening the case of Darrell Diamond Jones. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman investigates the investigation and finds a set of facts in the case that the jury never heard.
It took Brockton police just 17 hours to decide Darrell Diamond Jones was their prime suspect. We know that because detectives created a detailed paper trail of their investigation. But those documents came to light only 4 years ago through a public records request by the Innocence Program, which is seeking a new trial for Jones. Lisa Cavanaugh, the program's director, believes the record adds up to a case of tunnel vision. That's where investigators rush to judgment, deciding early on a suspect is guilty, then filtering the facts to fit their conclusion.
Tunnel vision can often affect, in profound ways, how investigations are conducted, what leads are followed up on, what leads are ignored. And I think that may have been going on throughout the investigation in this case.
Tunnel vision or not, if you follow the paper trail that's now available, you can track the steps and possible missteps police made as they seem to have overlooked obvious leads and failed to pursue other suspects, and how much they relied on the use of informants.
I had people from one end of the city to the other because I treated them right.
Former chief of Brockton detectives Richard Sprouls oversaw the investigation of the murder of Guillermo Rodriguez. Rodriguez was shot across the street from a bar called Pete and Mary's.
Let's say you're at this scene down by Pete and Mary's, and you look around, you see somebody in the crowd that you know. You say, hey, come here, on the QT, what's going on? I can make things right for you. We've paid people, we've relocated people. There's so many ways to deal with informants. But the thing of it is that you have to be honorable.
The unwritten honor code, you don't identify informants by name. But in the initial police report, an officer identified the first informant as Robert Allen, even listing Allen's birth date, phone, and social security numbers. The officer wrote, Robert Allen says the shooter is known to him as Diamond. Darrell Diamond Jones, who was convicted of the murder, says that can't be true.
Never met him in my life. And Robert Allen don't know me.
We were unable to find Robert Allen, but 3 years ago, a private eye working for the Innocence Program did. And Robert Allen told the investigator he never met Jones. He says he only told police that he heard a rumor on the street. Yet the police report that mentions Robert Allen included a lot of details about Diamond, his unusual hairstyle, his weight and height, and that he drove around in a blue Cadillac with a missing rear window.
All the stuff was personal stuff. This guy's from Brockton on the street. He ain't gonna know all that about me. He ain't gonna know half of that.
According to the police report written just hours after the murder, a second informant told a Brockton officer that Diamond's real name was Darrell Jones. This informant gave Jones's address in Boston.
We never see this informant. How does the informant, that could be the guy that did the killing. How would somebody else know all of that and we ain't even found no witness yet?
The police report describes Jones as, quote, dangerous and very clever. It also says he had outstanding warrants.
No warrants. Their police report said I had many outstanding warrants in Boston and by the Brockton police.
And no warrants.
I had no warrants.
WBUR and the New England Center for Investigative Reporting checked and could find no outstanding warrants for Darrell Jones. And while Brockton police say they had a Boston address for Jones, there are no records they ever asked Boston police to look for him. The records do show investigators went to the Brockton address of Evelyn Anderson the day after Jones was arrested. Anderson, then a school teacher, says she was with Jones at Pete and Mary's bar when the murder took place.
I told the detectives, how can y'all lock this boy up when he was in the bar with us eating a sandwich? I mean, unless he's Houdini and he can be two places at the same time, like I told him, I didn't think so.
At Jones's trial, Anderson stuck to her story, but she was never asked about other suspects she mentioned to the detectives.
There was a bunch of names running around, like Stevie Best and this one and that one, and people that were in drugs and stuff like that.
The name Stephen Betts is mentioned several times in the detective's notes as a possible murder suspect, but they never interview him. When Betts died in 2003, he had a criminal rap sheet, 14 pages long. Heading the murder investigation in the field was Detective Joseph Smith. In his internal report, Smith wrote that he had information that Darrell Jones, the prime suspect, was holed up in the apartment of Louise Allen, the sister of informant Robert Allen. Inexplicably, Smith wrote nothing more about her, and Louise Allen refused to talk to us. We were able to reach Detective Smith by phone. He's now retired but won't discuss the investigation. What's on paper is what happened is all he would say before he hung up. So we didn't have a chance to ask the former detective about another potential suspect he mentions in his notes, a man named Donald Houston. Smith found Houston hiding in a bedroom closet in the apartment of Darrell Jones's girlfriend. Detective Smith let Houston go, but took the girlfriend to the police station for questioning.
Well, first and foremost, I know Darrell Jones. I know he's not a killer, number one.
A few months ago, we found Donald Houston in Dorchester, where he runs a boxing program. He was recently paroled from state prison, where he was serving a life sentence for armed robbery. Houston says he used to be a friend of Darrell Jones. He says he was in that closet hiding from an ex-girlfriend.
Darrell's not a killer. He's never been a killer. He may have been a lot of things, but a murderer, he was not. He was just a perfect scapegoat at the perfect time for a corrupt town, and they used him. And they played it right out.
That's all Donald Houston would tell us. But Detective Smith's notes from 30 years ago reveal a lot more. Smith mentions meeting a guy named Shelton Lewis at the Brockton police station. Lewis was under arrest for armed robbery. According to the detective's notes, Shelton Lewis told him that a few days before the Veterans Day murder, he met with Donald Houston and Darrell Jones, and they told him they had guns, airplane tickets, and plans to kill a couple of people before they left town.
That's a lie. All that's a lie. That never happened. Never.
You never saw Diamonds. He didn't show you tickets. He didn't say he was going to kill people before he left town.
Is that a statement or something?
That's right.
Is my signature on it?
No, this is the policeman saying this.
Sir, I'm sure if I made a statement like that, he would have got my signature on something somewhere.
Shelton Lewis spoke to us from federal prison in Berlin, New Hampshire, where he's serving 20 years for armed robbery. Career criminals don't make great character witnesses, but whether or not Lewis is telling the truth now, why didn't the police go after Donald Houston back then when they were searching for a suspect? Our investigation of the police investigation that led to the arrest of Darrell Jones for murder leaves us with more questions than answers. How could a police informant seem to know so much about Jones, but later admit he didn't know Jones at all? Why didn't police search for other suspects who acted so suspiciously and were mentioned by name? Why didn't Brockton detectives try to find Darrell Jones in Boston? After all, he was their prime suspect, and they knew his home address. And most puzzling, why were these questions never raised at Darrell Diamond Jones's trial 30 years ago? For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Gellerman.